Ah, we got a small crowd. We're going to have to be loud this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. This is God's host, the host he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. It is the time of Thanksgiving, or the time that we set aside and call Thanksgiving. And it's coming soon. If you listen to Jimmy Brooks this morning, it's coming sooner for him than it is for most of us. He talked about Thanksgiving being Wednesday, and I thought I had missed something. But we do have Thanksgiving this Thursday. And I want to talk a few minutes this morning about Thanksgiving. And our text is the 100th Psalm, Psalm 100. And I'm reading it this morning from the New American Standard Bible, the updated edition. And I ask you and invite you to follow along as I read Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. We as a people and as a nation have truly been blessed by God. And of all those who give thanks to him and praise his name, we should be right at the top of the list. You know, it's not uncommon for us to compile a Christmas list of things that we would like to have if someone were thinking about giving us a gift. We prepare a list of resolutions for the new year, but it's uncommon and often overlooked that we prepare a Thanksgiving Day list of all the blessings for which we are thankful. But hopefully if we began to make a list, it would have much more on it than material possessions. Our list should include life and health and family and friends and our country, even with all of its flaws. But even more so, we should be thankful for our salvation, for our church family, and for the mercy that God showers upon us each and every day. With Jesus as our Savior, we have so much for which to be thankful and to celebrate at this Thanksgiving season. I wonder if it has ever occurred to you that no Americans were more underprivileged than that small band of people who stepped off of the Mayflower and who started the custom of setting aside a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God. They had no homes and no government agency to help them build the homes. They had no means of transportation except their legs. Their only food came from the sea and the forest, and they had to harvest it themselves. These pilgrims had no money, and if they did, they had no place to spend it. They had no entertainment except what they made for themselves, no means of communication with friends and family back in England, no Social Security, no Medicare. And yet, if you dared to call them underprivileged, you might have ended up in the stocks. For they did have four of the greatest attributes that mankind can possess. They had courage. They had initiative. They had a willingness to work, and they had a boundless love for God. Our forefathers had a boundless love and faith in God. It seems kind of odd, almost strange today, to say that phrase in a time when powerful forces are at work in our nation to strip us of every reminder that America was built upon the conviction that we are one nation under God. But our forefathers had a boundless faith and love in God. You know, Thanksgiving Day is a distinctive holiday when we look at it in relationship to other holidays. It does not commemorate a battle. It does not commemorate anyone's birthday. It does not commemorate an anniversary of any specific event. It is simply a day set aside to express our nation's thanks for our nation's God. In 1789, President George Washington made a proclamation regarding a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. I shall read only a little portion of it, but I want you to see the strong and absolute acknowledgement of God and of our nation's dependence upon Him. By the President of the United States, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the province of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to employ His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress, let me repeat that again, whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. Thursday, our nation will pause once again to celebrate Thanksgiving Day. And one would assume that because of the example of our forefathers and because of the abundance that we have today, we would be an extremely grateful people. Alas, the opposite seems true. The more we possess, the less thankful we become, the less mindful of God we are, and the more we want. I firmly believe that Psalm 100 was written to deal with such an attitude, to remind us of our need to be thankful and to remind us to maintain an attitude of gratitude. Well, what are the basis of our thanksgiving? Well, God said to His people of Israel when they escaped from Egypt something like this. When you enter into the promised land and you are secure in your homes and have plenty to eat, do not forget that I led you from the wilderness into a land of milk and honey. Well, boy, it doesn't take long to realize that the people of Israel need to be reminded of this. No sooner had they gotten into the promised land, then they once again turned away from God. They needed a reminder of what God had done for them, and I think we need a reminder today. Our text was written to remind the people of Israel to be thankful to God and to praise Him. And maybe God had us in mind when this psalm was written. It says in the beginning, it's addressed to all the earth, and the last verse states that it includes all generations. This message of thanksgiving is so deep and so wide that it includes every person of every age in every stage of life. It is sad America, Canada, and the Philippines are the only countries which celebrate a Thanksgiving Day. I wonder, could our world be changed if all nations began to observe Thanksgiving? But yet I believe there's a real danger during this season of us determining the degree of our Thanksgiving based upon what we have. Do I have enough turkey to sufficiently stuff myself on Thursday? Do I have the biggest flat screen TV to watch the football games? Is my money going to be safe in the bank? Will my health be good again next year this time? And I think we allow the answers to those questions to dictate or determine whether we are thankful or not. Our possessions may change at any time. They may deteriorate. They may be burned up. They may be stolen. And the only sure thing we have to possess is our relationship with the Lord. And I think this is the emphasis of Psalm 100. And if we look at each of the five verses, there is a reference to the Lord. The basis of our thanksgiving is the Lord. Remember, God is the provider of all things. And I want us to look at this text and see that there are five thanksgiving commands, so to speak, included in this text. The first command is in verse 1, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Maybe God has solved a problem for you. Maybe He gave you a blessing, one that you needed. We should drop to our knees and thank Him from the depths of our being. And praise Him. This is what the psalmist is saying. Suddenly you realize God has been so good to you that you can't contain the joy. You can't contain the praise. You have to shout joyfully to all the earth. From the depths of your being, you shout joy unto the Lord. The second command in our text is serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't state to serve the church. It doesn't state to serve the pastor, to serve the deacons, to serve the Sunday school. It says to serve the Lord. And the Bible teaches that if we witness to someone on behalf of the Lord, if we feed the hungry, if we clothe those who are naked, if we do the work of the Lord in any way, we are serving the Lord. Maybe we serve the Lord sometimes out of a feeling of obligation. Maybe we serve Him sometimes out of a feeling that we will feel guilty if we don't. Maybe we even serve Him sometime to focus the attention on ourselves, because unfortunately it's human nature to want to be appreciated for things we do which are worthwhile. But the psalmist says, in whatever you do, serve the Lord with gladness. Don't have an ulterior motive for serving Him. Don't look for a pat on the back like most of the Pharisees did. Serve the Lord with gladness. The third command is come before Him with joyful singing. Now, in these first three commands contained in the first three verses, God says, I want you to be happy and show joy. I want you to serve me with gladness and to come before me with joyful singing. And I want you to take a look around sometimes. You don't have to do it necessarily now, but look at the people around you. Are they happy? Are they joyful? Or do they sit there with a scowl on their faces? Do they get irritated because they have to wait 2 minutes in a shopping line? Do they get irritated because your credit card, you have to slide it twice, three times sometimes? Are they happy? Do they show the happiness of the Lord in their demeanor? The fourth command is know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God is still creating us. This is an important fact to realize. He's not satisfied with the unfinished product. He is not satisfied with our temple. He is not satisfied with the weak area of our lives in which we allow sin to come in and we give in to temptation. So he's still working on us. We are created in his image. Therefore, give him thanks for who we are and for what we have. God says we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Too often, we want to be the shepherd. We don't want to be the sheep. But God said, you be the sheep. Let me be the shepherd. I will lead you beside the still waters. I will lead you into green pastures. Just let me lead. Don't fight me on this. And the fifth command, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. You know, in the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the presence of God. So people, whenever they came into the temple, knew that they were in God's presence. Of course, now the temple no longer exists. So oftentimes the place where we meet, like today, is called a sanctuary, which means God is here or God is there, wherever a sanctuary exists. But hopefully we realize that God is everywhere. He's with us as we drive to work. He's with us as we care for the children. He is with us every moment of our life. And this should be the source of our thanksgiving. Not how much we possess, not how many assets, worldly assets we have accumulated, not the size of our bank account or the square footage of our home, but the fact that he is with us all the time should be the source of our thanksgiving. But we also probably should be worried, because what if God began to treat us like we so often treat him? What if God met our needs to the extent that we served him? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled the last time God sent the rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we did not love and care for others? What if God took away his message because we did not believe the messenger? What if God would not bless us today because we did not thank him yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the way we answer his call for service? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we did not follow him today? And sadly, that's where our country is headed. To not following God, to not asking his will and trying to abide by it. And I pray that this will be a meaningful Thanksgiving season for you and for your family. Maybe you need to take time and read Psalm 100 again. And if you will heed the five commands in there, your heart will overflow with thanksgiving for the Lord. Just for his being, just for his creating us, should fill us with joy and happiness. And this morning we offer you his invitation. If you have a decision on your heart, we pray that you will make it. Maybe you need to come forward and confess your sins and confess your faith in Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you wish to transfer your fellowship to this body of believers, or wish to present yourself to the Lord through the ordinance of baptism. whatever you might need, we extend God's invitation to you as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation, hymn number 290, I am thine.